Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, a very excited galaxy. This is the Four Center Podcast. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we are here back at the other command bridge. We've been going back old school. We're going to your studio, Joseph, and we're back here.
A four bridge and an aft bridge? That's a thing, right?
It's like the profundity, or no, excuse me, the radis, right? Yeah, that has up and down.
Oh, yeah. We got the up and down command ship.
Up and down command ships here at Four Center, which also means I do have the intergalactic space gardeners that show up a lot of times during the recording. We'll work on that. But hey,
it's a lawn.
We are here. And let's just get to business before we get to the fun. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Today's episode is Rise of the Fan Questions. And the reason being, the way life is. Full disclosure, Joseph and I are recording this mere hours before the episode 9 final trailer.
That's right. We are full of ignorance, unlike the people who will be listening to this later in the week.
So if you're tuning in going, where's the breakdown? Well, there was a separate breakdown episode, and that should be up for your enjoyment. But I love this, Joseph. I love that we are creating our own little time capsule of not knowing.
It's the closest we can get to time travel. Pre-recording podcast before trailers drop.
So we're going to dive into some news and a lot of great questions from you all. Before we do that, we're going to do a quick check-in on our lives and Star Wars adventures. A lot of things going on. We are hitting the ground running here for this recording today. I'm literally like shaking with excitement over the trailer we will have seen by the time this comes out.
I've sent like 3 emails saying, yes, that's very important. However, there's a Star Wars trailer today. I'll talk to you soon.
Hello, this is Mr. Hollywood Business. We'd like to sign you to a deal.
I have no time for your standard famous contracts.
Any adventures, sir?
Went to the Beverly Hills Art Fair with my wonderful wife, Sarah. And it was, as I've mentioned before on the podcast, I have a visual art degree, one of the many things that I've done in life that I have not entirely followed through on. But I have a degree in the painting and the drawing, so I really love looking at art and you know, thinking through the movement and all of my preferences. Bunch of beautiful, some sculptures that look like they should be in Bespin that I wanted to buy. Ooh. Some beautiful, perfect sculptures, some great landscapes, some great surrealism, all kinds of things. But then there was one booth that was mostly just Star Wars. It was
really?
Mostly very, everything ranged from very artistic to, I don't know, we're mostly trying to sell prints and get people to follow us on Instagram. And there was one that was just like, there was a bunch of long canvases that were Star Wars characters. It looked like hanging up their clothes to dry and kind of hanging in the background. So it'll be like, oh, there's an X-Wing flight suit and like Leia suit. Right. But then like just all of 3PO is hanging there to dry. So some surreal stuff.
coverings and all.
Coverings and all. Yeah, but then R2 too. You could make the coverings nudity 3PO joke, but R2 was just hanging from like, yet another one of those. You see Star Wars absolutely everywhere, no matter what.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere you want to look and find it, and it inspires us everywhere. That's a fun adventure.
Yeah, it was a fun one. How about you?
Sir, I didn't do much other than work. I have been having such fun writing that Flag Sports baseball column, but what that means now is I have to watch the baseball games.
Oh, no, have to.
Yeah, you know, it's been a great time, but, you know, a good playoff baseball game can be a 4 or 5 hour thing, so I've been sitting there writing. It's been a lot of fun, so no doubt about that, but I did take time this past Sunday to stream again, to get back on Twitch. I hadn't done it in a while and had about an hour or so, and I was like, I'm going to choose to do this, and I went back to Battlefront. And so many of our life updates are Battlefront updates, Battlefront 2 updates, but I haven't played it since the big stuff.
Okay.
So I spent almost an hour, went to Naboo a little bit, but almost an hour on Felucia.
Oh, yeah. Did you do the co-op, or did you do the Capital Supremacy?
I hadn't. Capital Supremacy against AI.
Okay.
Because I hadn't played the game in so long, I got one of those, you need to update it, buddies.
Okay.
And it was one of those, good luck. You might as well just go offline to play. So I streamed just against AI, which now you can address AI. It's a challenge. It's not just like shooting droids in a barrel. But Felucia, I love the Felucia map on the original Battlefront 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never played that one, so just, this is a new experience for me.
One of those things that kind of expanded the appreciation of the prequels when you didn't know what was doing that.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, Aayla Secura died on a pretty cool planet. This one, have you been on the Felucia map this time?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Those apartments.
I know, right?
What are those apartments? It's the greatest thing ever.
I think they're in that great Clone Wars episode.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The one that's really based on Seven Samurai.
Yes.
I'm getting that right.
So many Clone Wars episodes, I'm just going to go yes because I've seen it.
I think about it a lot because it's the... It's got some great Embo stuff, and it is the one where Hondo, one of the times where early Hondo, where he's straight up evil and like in a fight, kind of takes it to Anakin, and it's basically just, you know, the bounty hunters and the Jedi, you know.
He's not a wisecracking, you know.
Yeah.
He's
not
scoundrel.
A lovable scoundrel. Yeah, he's trying to kill Anakin and take people's beautiful little homes that we can now visit in Battlefront 2.
I hadn't really connected it right away, you know, and I ran up there into one of them, and there's like a fireplace. There's like a table setting. I was like, I want to rent this.
It is a hell of a thing, though, when you're like, oh, I'm running around, I'm shooting, I'm exploding, like poison little, you know, pustule plants, and then suddenly like, I'm in a person's living room.
Yeah. It was also fun because I got to do, because I'm not playing with online players, when a hero... when I had enough points to be a hero, I could have my pick of the hero.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason I don't do the heroes in the regular online game, because, you know, people are getting them right away. So I was Maul for a while, and I had a great dream fight Maul versus Yoda that went on for a bit.
Oh, nice.
And like, we're hacking and slacking, and I feel bad for killing Yoda.
Well, so, sometimes the dark side wins. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. And a double Star Wars Adventure Life update. We got a friend of the show, listener Mike, who's a big fan of Force Center, but is also a manager at Best Buy. And he sent us some gifts to our mailbox over at 3727 West Magnolia Boulevard, box 728, Burbank, California, 91505. And he sent us some Rise of Skywalker vintage 3 3/4 figures.
Yeah.
I have the Sith Jet Trooper.
So beautiful.
And I know you have something you're very excited about.
I am. I am holding in my very hand a Knight of Ren. So cool. Thank you so, so very much. This is one that I had this great experience where I managed on Triple Force Friday to find a couple of these figures. Yeah. I found a Sith Jet Trooper and Rey, and then I saw somebody else in Barnes & Noble walking around with a Knight of Ren in their hand. I was like, I want that. And now it's in my hand. And this is just, man... Yeah. Such a cool action figure. The axe is so tall, it comes in a couple pieces. And it is the axe that does look like it's in the background of Dryden Voss's office. So, man.
Easter egg.
The Knight of Ren, just the mystery of the character.
Yeah.
How cool the character looked. The fact that it doesn't have a name. It's just a Knight of Ren. It doesn't say a Knight.
I'm convinced.
It says Knight of Ren. But it's just like, man, old school Star Wars feeling. So, again, thank you so, so much for sending that.
I'm going to name, he's got catcher knee pads, so I'm going to name him Gary Wren after my favorite baseball player, Gary Carter. That's what he's going to be. Thank you, Mike, at Broski Mike on Twitter. We appreciate that. A lot of fun. Before we move on to the news, Resistance check-in, and at the time of this recording, I have to admit, second week in a row, I just have not been in the habit to return to watching Resistance.
Right?
I missed it. It's on my DVR. I'm going to watch it. But as we go to record, I was like, oh, no, I forgot.
It's all so much. And then I noticed that it's on Disney XD as well. So then I realized, it's available on streaming right away in the morning.
Right.
So this Sunday, my wife and I got up, had, you know, basically a Sunday morning cartoon adventure.
Nice.
It was great. It was great. I feel like Resistance continues to really move toward everything they're promising of. It's really going to hook up to episode 9. Great. And honestly, this was... in many ways, the episode that felt the most Star Wars to me.
Okay.
It's got some flying.
Yeah.
It's got some creatures. It's got some moral quandary. It's great.
Star Wars moral quandary. That's awesome. I cannot wait to check it in. I know Griff Halloran was featured in it. I saw Steven Sinton tweet out that he finally spoke, so I don't know why I missed it.
Yeah. I bet, you know forgot. What? Let's play a game.
Yeah.
I bet you might be able to guess the key piece of information that he says.
Is it one line?
Pretty much.
Is it fire?
That's close. Okay. That's close. No, okay. There's a little bit more substantive. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is great. So for those of you out there who are watching Star Wars Resistance, we'll keep diving in when time allows and when I remember to watch. But we are going to get to the news right now as we take a look at some stories. That's right. The trailer is the highlight of the week. We understand, like I said up top, pre-tape before the trailer, we had the separate dive-in episode. And also in terms of some of the Mandalorian stuff, our friend, our colleague, our co-host, Jennifer Landa got the chance to go to the Mandalorian press day.
Yeah.
Released some great pictures from that. But there's a little bit of an embargo in effect. So when it's clear, Jennifer will get back here on the Force Center airwaves, maybe in person, maybe by phone, most likely, and break down what she experienced on that day. But Joseph, just the images and the hype was pretty darn good.
Yeah, images and hype. And, I saw some things being tweeted out that I don't know if they were in violation of the embargo, but there was definitely some concrete information that I don't know if we should talk about or not, because I don't know if it's part of the embargo.
Yeah, it's. I'd never want to go against embargoes.
Yeah, never go against an embargo.
Never do it. But definitely a lot of stuff lying around. In terms of the reactions briefly, it seemed happy.
It seemed like, yes, that there was no like, really like this part, but got to see where it goes. Every single post I saw seemed to be saying the same thing of like, it is getting particularly to the heart of original trilogy Star Wars vibe and all of the adventures you ever imagined with Bounty Hunter toys for those of us who played with Bounty Hunter toys.
Going to be good. So we know that show's going to be around. In fact, our first story of the day that we're really diving into is the dates of the Mandalorian episodes. That's right. This was going around.
Dates of the Mandalorian.
I did read our friends at Star Wars News Net kind of put a bunch of it together. Usually I try to go to the original story to get the whole scope. It just was one of those things that just popped up. And this is what we know. After the Tuesday release on the 12th of November, which is the first Disney Plus day, we are going to get episodes on Friday. Friday. Getting Mando on Friday. The dates actually are the 12th to start, 15th, 22nd, November 29th, December 6th, December 13th, December 18th, and December 27th. So we know that. This has been, you know, we knew for a while now it wasn't going to be the binge. It wasn't going to be the dump them all one weekend, which we were all, I think, general pretty happy.
Yeah.
Not that we wouldn't have binged them all if that was the option. But what's the most interesting thing, Joseph, and you have pulled out your calendar,
which is important. Straight.
Because we got some national holidays here in America that are kind of dotting the landscape here.
Yeah, there's some turkey, there's some Santa time, there's a lot, there's some this little holiday in Star Wars land called the final movie in the Skywalker saga.
That's the biggest holiday in the middle of all of this.
I mean, I laughed just because I hadn't really thought of it as dates of the Mandalorian episodes. But this really is like the Mandalorian's got his calendar out. It's like, oh, well, when can I see you? Like, I got some things on my calendar I need to avoid.
Like a business meeting here.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I was really wondering about if they, when they announced it was weekly, if they would be launching on Tuesday, so it was weekly on Tuesday. And I was like, okay.
Right.
But Friday is perfect for just for social media, right? For modern water cooler.
Right.
Let's get as much discussion as possible.
Come back from the weekend. Check in.
Yep.
Get the
coffee
in the break room.
You know, the actual like world news sometimes, not always, but especially in America, sometimes slows down a little bit on Saturday and Sunday, right? So if you got a bunch of people watching it on Friday and then everybody discussing it online Saturday and Sunday, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You got Black Friday, right?
Yes.
When people really have time off.
Yeah.
Which by the time you're getting kind of closer to the end to really have that discussion time go crazy.
That is the worst day in the history of the world. But yes.
Speaking as a former mall security person. Yep.
But I'm going to be home watching this, and I like the Friday time. I really do. I think you're right. You can't compete with Sunday programming on HBO, even though this is a totally different thing.
Right.
I think you have to be aware of that. And they probably did some research. Uncle Bob and his team just finished Uncle Bob's book. I know they got a lot of research there. Though he did get rid of strategy planning. He cut that.
Really?
64 employees to 15 was like, I want my employees to make their decisions, not some group get together and tell them what to do.
Okay, so he is trusting the will of the employees.
He is. So I'm sure they came up with this. But the big thing, Joseph, this goes past episode 9.
It goes past episode 9 and it dances around it in a really interesting way, right? Mm-hmm. Because let's see, so Rise of Skywalker technically out on the 20th, but actually on Thursday the 19th. So then it jumps back to Wednesday of that week, right? December 18th.
Yeah.
This is why I have my calendar out so I don't lose my mind.
You're right.
So basically the second to last, the penultimate episode of The Mandalorian comes out Wednesday, then Rise of Skywalker on Thursday, and then
waits for
Christmas and Boxing Day to happen. Then Friday, again, back to its regularly scheduled time for the final episode.
Watch your copies of Magical Mystery Tour on Boxing Day. Yeah, okay. I'm glad you brought your calendar out because this is really, we really are getting into the dates of the Mandalorian. Right.
And this is really how can we let people talk about this without getting in the way of other conversations, right? Because technically Rise of Skywalker comes out on the 20th, right? But hardcore fans, we all see it on Thursday and then usually again on Friday. If Mandalorian just dropped that day too, right? It would not be a part of the social media conversation. Yeah. So bumping it back to Wednesday.
That's great.
Getting it really, imagine the fervor, right?
Yeah.
The next day we're all going to see Rise of Skywalker, but it's the second to last episode.
We'll be in line.
Right. And that's like the second to last episode is a lot of the debate.
Yeah.
How is this all going to end?
That's right? Usually
that's a conversation starter.
That's that Game of Thrones episode 9 tradition they had early on. Yeah. Where that's a big thing. That's great. I think that's great. You'll be in line waiting to get some candy, talking Mandalorian with people about to see Rise of Skywalker, as we've always said, but we'll bring back for sure. What a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
That's insane to
think. I mean, the interesting thing to me about this is they could have tried to bunch it up and just get it done before Rise of Skywalker, or they could have said, hey, the first 4 episodes, then we're taking a 2-week break.
Right.
You know,
it would have made sense.
Yeah. So it seems to me that they're trying to really make this like, hey, if you love all Star Wars, if you're down for Mandalorian, down for Rise of Skywalker, we'll kind of make it work so you're not too, there's not too much going on, you know, right on top of each other.
This is great.
Or, hey, if you just get Disney Plus, you're not big on the sequels. Right. But maybe you're going to be pulled back in by The Mandalorian. We're going to keep it flowing for you.
It's going to flow.
So it doesn't take a break for a movie that you're not interested in.
Right. I'm really excited, man, because I'm going back to 2012, 2014, and then even 2015, even when Force Awakens hits. The fact that you'll be saying, oh, the episode 9, you'll be talking about a live-action TV show that's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You'll be like, what world are we living in now? even as late as 2015, when there was maybe some hubbub about streaming coming for Disney. This is great.
I think we're going to get this question, so I'm going to throw it out to you.
Yeah.
So given that the second to last episode of Mandalorian is coming right before Rise of Skywalker, do you think there's any relationship? Do you think there's any little fun, even Easter egg that's been going to have been brought up in Mandalorian that could show its face in Rise of Skywalker? I'm not talking about big plot. Turns out the Mandalorian is Rey's dad.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just a ship in the background, a person that we meet a little younger in the Mandalorian we happen to see in the background or get called over the intercom, that kind of thing.
I'm going to say no, despite my rampant excitement for Star Wars this week with the trailer and everything, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, you just don't think there's that level of coordination?
Yeah.
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 I agree. I think
I was just thinking, we haven't seen the trailer. The trailer's going to start with Pedro Pascal going, hello, Ray, I'm the Mandalorian.
I'm the Dadalorian. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that there is always, the story group, I think, is so smart about these nods. I'm saying that as I'm watching the axe from Solo, looking at the axe from Solo and this action figure from Rise of Skywalker, but I don't think it's anything major because I think they want to let the Mandalorian be its own beast up to a point.
I like those little, I like the flavors, but I think this is just a weird timing because they could have, you know, Disney Plus was going to be a little earlier. Wasn't there an October release date at one point?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but it's fun. Gosh, this is what a fun time. And Joseph, we're going to get this question. Should we address it right now?
Sure.
About our programming?
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited.
We are planning currently to do a separate Mandalorian review show during the time here on Force Center. This will be a chance for Joseph and I to take a deep dive. And we should say Jennifer, if available, we know she's still, we're not rushing her back and she's going to come back in studio when she can. But we're going to separate our review of that and really take our time with that.
Yeah, because I think if we rolled it into the main show would be 3 hours long. So it'd be great to be able to really take our time diving into each episode of Mandalorian. And then because there is so much going on in the Star Wars world, you know, just all of the new ideas coming from Rise of Skywalker, who knows what else is going to be announced. That'll leave us plenty of room to talk about all the other exciting stuff going on in Star Wars on the main show.
So look for that soon. And I guess the next big question is, do these episodes come out at midnight? And will we be recording these episodes at midnight or Friday morning?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. We'll the future that. Is in motion on that one.
It is. So from The Mandalorian, we go to the other, big event coming up here for Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. And we have Daisy Ridley in Entertainment Weekly talking Reylos. Uh-oh, you say that phrase, problems can spring. But we have two big quotes we're focusing on here in this story. This is Daisy Ridley saying, it does not bother me, people writing theories. It's really fun hearing them. Plus, because I know what's sort of going to happen, I think it'll be really interesting to see people's reaction to the final film. Obviously, there's the whole Reylo thing, and some people are very passionate about it. Some aren't. She goes on to say, JJ does deal with it. It's a very complex issue. People talk about toxic relationships and whatever it is. It's no joke, and I think it's dealt with really well because it's not skimmed over. There's a lot in those two quotes.
I think this was a red carpet type interview, right?
It's pretty meaty for red carpet.
I think meaty and incredibly well handled on Daisy Ridley's part.
Yeah.
In acknowledging that, hey, of course, fan fiction, have fun, whatever. But yeah, but it is actually, it's a part of the movie and it's, you know, a topic that deserves respect because it has real world implications. So yeah, look forward to more. Like, that's a great answer.
Absolutely. Perfect. Allows for that room. I think we've always kind of said here, it makes some sort of sense that if you watch The Force Awakens, even Last Jedi, that there's some kind of connection between them and it could be romantic. It's from a certain point of view, has always been a possibility for me, not something I personally subscribe to.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, the Reylo conversation, I know it has got intense in some quarters of the internet, but I kind of took this step back. It's like, this is, at this point, we're just talking about kind of sexual romance because Reylo isn't a theory. Yeah. They are intimately connected, right? Yeah. They've been inside one another's mind. So it's, to me at this point, my take is Reylo is a thing.
Yeah.
It's just what kind of thing is it going to be, kind of thing? Right?
That's a great take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there, if you're going like, I don't want Reylo to happen. It's like, I think it's too late. A brand of Reylo has happened. They are intimately connected.
What is your Reylo brand? But that's what I love about this second part of her quote is JJ does deal with it. It's a very complex issue. It's no joke. I think it's dealt with really well because it's not skimmed over. This isn't they're having a raspberry milkshake at Dexter Jr.'s diner. This is understanding. She talks about toxic relationships, a lot of the problems, I'm in the camp of if I want to see, Ray in a romantic relationship, I'm hoping for better than troubled Ben. I like that she's saying that and that they've done it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I would be open to them to some question of is that what this could become, or is there a physical romantic attraction there? But I think given what the storytelling of Star Wars has always been and what it's going to probably be for concluding the Skywalker chapter, there are all these delicate balances to consider of, what does it say if Rey's like, the only way to defeat the ultimate evil is for me to save you. Mm-hmm. And also, should that level of forgiveness be quickly given to, somebody who's done his awful things with Kylo? So it leads me towards really thinking that Rey might get to a place where saying hey, Ben, I want you to turn back. I can't do that for you. I can't save you. If you would like to correct yourself, I'm over here waiting to go on the journey with you. If that could be done and said in a really dramatic, that came out extra dramatic in a good dramatic flowing way of Rey really having the I do care about you, but this isn't about me. It's about you. I can't save you. Only you can save yourself. I'm here waiting.
Really like that. I really like that take of. This is your choice. This Star Wars is about these moral choices, right?
Right.
You've got to do this. Otherwise, I may strike you down, too. Maybe, I don't know if it's that, if it's over a fight. I will do what I have to do, but I wish you would choose another way.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
No predictions yet.
No predictions yet. the time of recording, we haven't seen that trailer.
We haven't seen the trailer yet. And also, we'll be diving in as we lead up to episode 9. We've got a list of topics, main topics and shows we're kicking around. And Reylo's on that list.
Yeah.
We want to take a look.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past, but I think it'd be really fun to dive in all the way.
All the way.
All the way. Reylo.
All the way to Reylo Town. And we've got JJ quotes. JJ quotes. That's right. In another Entertainment Weekly story, JJ Abrams talks of a, quote, cohesive ending to 9 films. JJ says this, excuse me while I read. This is about bringing this thing to a close in a way that is emotional and meaningful and also satisfying in terms of actually answering as many questions as possible. This is in their November issue. So if years from now, someone's watching these movies, all 9 of them, they're watching a story that is as cohesive as possible. He goes on to say that there were many things that were planned for and discussed. George Lucas himself said when he created this, he saw it as three-act plays. This, of course, going back to the beginning. That doesn't mean there isn't discovery. That doesn't mean there aren't things to come up that make you realize, oh, here's an opportunity, adds Abrams. It also doesn't mean that there's a list of payoffs that we have to do because of setups. But we also were very much aware this is the end of the trilogy and it needs to be satisfied. We went into this thing knowing it has to be an ending. We're not screwing around. And that's a quote that's been making the rounds. Joseph, that's a lot. I had a read there, but yeah. There's some key stuff here I want to dive in. This doesn't mean there's a list of payoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Still room for discovery. I love what he's saying here in these two things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, there's still room for discovery is talking about the heart of Star Wars. Yeah. Lucas talks often about plans and, you know, structure and all that. But then he changed his mind as he went along the way. Yeah. He discovered things that he wanted to play with. And that is, to me, gets into this great Star Wars theme of the flowing and organic versus the rigid and controlled. Totally. Yeah. You know, so for Abrams to get into it and go, oh, yeah, I'm heading in this direction, but I didn't. There's a path over there that I could explore that will rejoin mm-hmm. with the main branch. That's great.
Yeah.
And then the closing, what was the other part of that? Doesn't mean there's a list of payoffs.
Doesn't mean there's a list of payoffs. And I think that's very, very important for some people to hear, and they might not hear it. This also goes back to The Last Jedi. You're holding this wonderful Knight of Ren figure. That's one of those list right. of payoff. It was set up. He threw it away. All right, I could see you wanting Knights of Ren in Last Jedi. I could totally see it. But again, the story didn't go that way, but now we know they're back in. Anyways, point being, none of us should go in with a little post-it note of better get this, better get this, better get this.
Right. Well, I mean, you can, but then I think if you're watching it with that frame, it's not as enjoyable of an experience.
Especially like Ray, I want you to choose a lighter path.
Yeah, it is the nature of Star Wars. It's always been tip of the iceberg storytelling, as I call it, where it leaves a lot to your imagination. And the nature of it is sometimes it gets fleshed out in books, in comic books, and, you know, every fan gets to decide, like, oh, was that too much to leave off the screen? But that's if we don't learn enough about Knight of Ren, I look forward to decades of Knights of Ren storytelling.
With great figures attached to it. Yeah, I'm excited. And it's funny, this is kind of coming back up again of a cohesive ending to 9 films. Because remember all those months and now even years ago, this phantom JJ quote of we're going to, you know, tie all these movies together and... it's one of the things where I don't necessarily know you could find the exact quote. It just kind of floated around there. Maybe you just said some version of it there. And I still even kind of downplay. I don't think we're going to get, you know, for anyone needing the Sifo Dyas answer who missed the Clone Wars, he's not going to pop up, all that kind of stuff. But I love what he's saying about years later, when you're sitting down to watch all 9 of these films, we want to have some kind of through line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's clear to me in the prequels and the original trilogy that how Anakin struggles with attachment and makes bad choices because of it is, you know, greatly enriches the story of how Luke finds power in attachment. Yeah. And I think it's going to be those big thematic things that are going to feel like we're watching the same story that's all connected and plays out with these specific ideas. Absolutely. The big question to me, and I think we're going to do an episode on this as well, is what are the big themes of all the movies up to this point, and which ones did spoke to Abrams? Which one did Abrams take away and go, these are, I think, the essential ideas, questions, themes of the Skywalker saga, and therefore those are the ones that I really want to dig into and unearth and conclude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. That's an important question because I think you can see some of the ones that Ryan connected with and put into his personal story of Star Wars, which is what we've heard Kathleen Kennedy talk about and him. That's what you got to do with these. It's Star Wars, but you have to make it your own. What is Chris Terrio even? And I love a lot of the quotes and stuff that's coming out about Terrio.
Yeah.
About he connected. And you know, take your Justice League jokes out and throw them away, right? He did the Justice League, right?
He was one of the many authors who worked on the large hot dish that is Justice League. So.
And I've heard it again. I've heard some other people talking about, well, you know, he wrote, number one, that's how Hollywood movies sometimes get made. 33 writers in a a conveyor belt of job writing jobs. But this is an Argo guy. This is he knows what he's doing.
There's a reason that Chris that J.J. Abrams texted him right away and said, "Hey, I decided to do this. Will you do this with me? I think that'll be interesting."
Excited.
We're not screwing around.
Yes.
So here's what struck me. Is all those interviews with George Lucas talking about how much he had to pare down Revenge of the Sith, that he had imagined for years, that seven battles on seven planets is how the movie would open up, that he wanted to tell so much more about Boba Fett and Jango and all that, and wanted to get into exactly how Qui-Gon was unlocking the secrets of eternal life, and even had multiple kind of motivations all build into the one made of motivation for Anakin, but had to go in and re-edit and go, no. So just make it about that attachment to Padme and the manipulation there. And all of that is because he had some fun, right? In the other two movies. Right. And then he couldn't be playing around anymore, right?
Yeah.
So that's the feeling and excitement I get for Rise of Skywalker. And even some of the shots we've seen of like huge armadas of ships, you know? And like, I think it's just going to be like, we're just telling the story.
Yeah.
There's no fluff on the side. There's no room for anything but the story.
The story, indeed. Oh, man. I just love being a Star Wars fan. I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of insight this episode. I'm just kidding. I woke up giddy. I woke up happy today. Final story we're going to take a look at here right now is Tony Gilroy joins the Cassian Andor series. This kind of came before some of the hubbub of this past week or so. So much so that I forgot it happened in this time period. Gilroy is allegedly writing the pilot and directing several episodes. Stephen Schiff, of course, still showrunning. Besides Rogue Run reshoots, writing, directing the allegedly, Gilroy's other screenwriting credits include the Jason Bourne film franchise, as well as films like Michael Clayton, The Devil's Advocate. Oh, wow. And Dolores Claiborne. And he also directed Michael Clayton, for which he earned Oscar nominations for both original screenplay and best director. Gilroy also directed 2012's The Bourne Legacy. When he was brought on for Rogue One, he had a pedigree, you know, when he showed up. So it made sense. And I don't know why I'm surprised, but I'm also comforted by this. Where does your mind go with this, Joe?
Yeah, I think I'm not surprised. There is it seems like we don't know everything that happened behind Rogue One. We've got lots of articles. Gilroy himself has said some things, but it seemed like he really did have a hand in shaping the movie as it finally turned out.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, largely fans really like Rogue One. I don't hear much negativity about Rogue One. And it makes sense to me that somebody like him would come in because he might just have a real relationship with Cassian.
Yeah.
With the character of Cassian. Mm-hmm. Who knows if this was even a thing coming from Diego Luna himself.
Yeah.
Like, he really felt like, hey, during the Gilroy rewrites and reshoots, that's where I really dug in and really found the character. And I feel like he knows him. I would like him on board. The other thing that strikes me, digging through resumes, Stephen Schiff, writer, producer on The Americans, lots of other great credits. But I wonder for planning and shooting something as complex as a Star Wars television show with all of the moving parts. I wonder if somebody with a little bit more directorial experience was important to add to the team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it all makes sense. And when I say I was surprised, it just, with the shows, Deborah Chow, Obi-Wan, a lot of the newer names in terms of Star Wars showing up in Mandalorian, I just was expecting it to be announced. It was some, hey, this person's done some TV episodes. And Gilroy, it makes a lot of sense. And this is kind of a heavyweight. And looking at, I think it's great to look at the resume. Look at the Bourne stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's that kind of series, looking at Rogue One, and I know I can hear the comments already. He doesn't like Star Wars. He, had those interviews of, I don't know, I killed off the characters. I don't care about this stuff. I got to tell you, I don't care because I really like the results.
Yeah. If he has any sort of attitude of like, I'm not a fan. And I think by I'm not a fan means I'm not going out to Barnes & Noble looking for Knight of Ren, right?
Right.
He might appreciate the films, right? But obviously for him to do the work that he did on Rogue One, he cares about these characters, he cares about this story, and I think that is what's most important, because you have the story group there. You have other people there to go, oh, let's make sure that all of the you know, little details tie up. It's important to me that somebody like Stephen Schiff and Tony Gilroy, who have both told great stories about desperate, emotionally conflicted people trapped in worlds of espionage and violence, trying to find their way through. That's the through line. And that to me is like, if those creators understand that world, then we have the potential to get a Star Wars story that we have never seen. It's only been hinted at by Cassian's moral ambiguity in Rogue One and wrestling with it, and to get to just really sink into that and get those moments of just horrible, you know, emotional and actual espionage danger tension weeks at a time. Great.
I love that. And I'm telling you, the only pause I have right now when I saw this again, going to him, his eye, I'm not a fan, is I really want, you know, Saw Gerrera or Jyn Erso, or, well, Jyn probably not so much, take that back, but Infus Nest, or, you know, some of these around that time period type of characters. I'd love them in this story. I don't think Tony Gilroy is going to be like, what's that bird looking outfit wearing character from Solo? Infus Nest, put her in. But the story group might.
Yeah.
Stephen Schiff might. And I don't need Gilroy to be concerned about who. I just, the what is what's more important right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's our look at the Star Wars news of the week, not counting the trailer, not counting Mandalorian reviews, of course. And we are going to have a lot more to talk about and news-wise in the next few weeks.
Oh, boy.
Before we get on to our questions, our big episode built around your questions, we're going to have our Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us, Joseph.
That is right. We are recommending Alphabet Squadron by Alexander Freed. We read it recently. We enjoyed it, and we've been getting some good feedback on our review. So we suggest you listen and then dive in with that review.
Absolutely. Download your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audio book. And now it's to the rise of the questions.
That is right.
Joseph, we love doing this from time to time. We always take questions every episode, but there's sometimes so many of them. And we decided with the way the week was shaping up and a lot of the focus on the trailer, we wanted to focus on the fans for this episode. And here we go with a lot of great questions.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for sending in so many great questions. We've got five from Patreon, and we have five that we got specifically on Twitter. We'll get more on Facebook as well, and we'll always be asking for more because people send us great ones. So let's dive in. The first one is from Joshua Thorne. Again, this came from our Patreon. Joshua says, was Krennic sincere in his offer of letting the Ursos continue to live together as a family if Galen would have worked for the Empire? If so, do you think they should have accepted his offer to stay together, even if it would have been in a false reality?
It's a great lead-off question.
Yeah, yeah. Juicy, juicy questions. We got some juicy ones. We got some silly ones. So silly, they're juicy. But let's talk about this one. So what is your initial reaction? Because this is the tension of the opening scene, really, of Rogue One. Of like, I'm not just coming for you, Galen. I'm coming for all of you.
Orson Callan Krennic, man, is a great character. I really love him in the supplemental material. Catalyst is great. And I go to Catalyst and look at this. I think there was some admiration for Galen. And I think there are also definitely, from Krennic's point of view, a need for Galen.
Oh, yes.
So
for sure.
Maybe there's some truth to it. I wouldn't have trusted him. And I also wouldn't have trusted anyone above him.
Right. There's definitely the approach of like, that's what Krennic means.
Yes.
Until somebody comes along and goes, nah, we're changing the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pray don't alter it any further. So I think there could have been some of that. But I think at this point, so 5 years prior, maybe they meet up. Maybe it's before a lot of this, they run off to Lamu. Maybe Krennic is true and Galen goes, all right. But the bigger issue is, especially at this point in time, this was a stand that Galen needed to take.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think what's really interesting to me is that, to me, this is about the stand that Lyra takes. And this is one of the subtleties, nuances, themes of Rogue One that I really enjoy. Is there's a lot of stuff in Catalyst about how she's trying to make this work, you know, and she's not sure about some stuff that's going on, right?
Right.
And then it gets to a point of no return. And I think that's a lot of what Rogue One is about. What is the point of no return? What is the point where, yep, the Empire's flag is flying above the galaxy, but it's no problem if you don't look up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Lyra needed to be for them to go with Krennic. Because, yeah, probably Krennic probably meant, hey, I'll try to just give you a nice life while we enslave your husband to build a death machine using the crystals that you, Lyra, find holy.
Yeah.
We're going to, torture them and make your husband do it. And while we're doing all of these things that are unspeakable and awful to you, we're going to put you up in a nice apartment. And for Lyra, right away at the beginning of the movie, she knows this is the point of no return for me. Yeah. I won't go along with this false reality. I won't go along with this lie. And it's really powerful because Jin's been avoiding this battle her whole life.
Yeah.
And she gets to the point at the end where it's like, this is a point of no return. I can't let this go the way it is. Joshua has a great turn of phrase, false reality.
Yeah.
Let's erase the false realities. It's not a nice apartment. I'm your servant.
Yeah.
My husband is literally enslaved to you. Who knows what you'll do to me and my daughter? Doesn't matter if you put a nice face on it. If we're in the greatest penthouse on Coruscant or wherever you put us, it's a lie. The Empire is evil and no more.
No more.
You know?
Yeah.
So, in terms of a story, I think it's great.
Yes.
Lyra starts out strong. Jin finds that strength to say no more. On a practical level, if I were in this situation, I don't know if I would be as morally strong as Lyra, right?
That's a reality.
Yeah. Do you want to live to fight another day? Or is there a point where, I won't. It's not worth being.
Yeah.
It's not worth being alive to be in this.
That's
position.
Yeah, that's the big questions. Star Wars deals with these big questions.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah, that's why I go. Definitely at this point, when you're hiding and you're running away, something has made you even do that.
Right.
Again, Catalyst. I think Catalyst is due for a reread in my mind, just to enjoy it even more, having more context to a lot of things going around. Along the way, Krennic. I don't think I want to say he's ever been good to them, but he's always been a little bit of a wily dude, but it grows. So this is the right time. This is like you said, I love this idea. The false reality, boom, you're out.
Yep.
Done.
Nope. I'm calling it what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also speaks to the power of Lyra and the influence on Jin, which we only got a few seconds to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the much larger question of, were we in that real life position? Would we try to bear it in order to live to fight another day?
Let me see that. Let me see that penthouse.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see that penthouse. That's the quote of the episode from Ken Nabzak. Great question, Joshua. We move on to a question from Shirley Rocks. All one word. So, man, I don't know if that's an awesome nickname. I don't know if that's a two-word name.
It is. Shirley Rocks is in my Twitch chat room.
Oh, wonderful.
That is a homage to Shirley Manson of Garbage.
Oh, yes. Shirley does rock.
Yes.
I love Garbage. All right. Shirley Rocks says, near the end of Return of the Jedi, Luke asks Darth Vader to join him, but Vader refuses Luke's request because he must obey his master. For years, I casually assumed Vader was referring to the Emperor here, but as we all know, Vader has also asked both Padme and Luke to join him in destroying the Emperor, which seemingly contradicts his response to Luke in Return of the Jedi. Could you help me reconcile this? Could Anakin be referring to the dark side of the Force and not the Emperor as the master he must obey? Juicy. What you thinking, Ken?
I grew up always thinking it's the Emperor, and I think it is the Emperor in that moment there. He's asked Luke to join him, destroying the Emperor. Padme, we know, an extended canon, modern canon, has done a great job of really looking into the complicated working relationship with Vader and Palpatine. It could just be him in the mind. It could be in this moment he feels like there's a crack in his heart and his will, and he almost has to remind himself, Emperor's my master. He's being presented with turn, and that's kind of hard. I got a boss. I can't get the time off. I think it's a little bit of excuse he's trying to force down his own throat in this mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense a little bit, because obviously he doesn't have to obey his master, whether it is the Emperor or the Force, because the dark side of the Force, because he makes a different choice at the end of Return of the Jedi. So he is lying to himself on some level. Mm. I think that there, to me, there's a fun and interesting reading of it in that the Emperor is the epitome. He is the avatar of the dark side of the Force. He is the most purely evil character in Star Wars who fully embraces all of the teachings of the dark side. So there's a part of me that I think what's really, really great about the comic where Vader is building his castle on Mustafar and playing with those ideas of, ooh, can I use the dark side to go get Padme?
Right.
And spoilers, if you haven't read this. And basically the dark side kind of slaps him down. And I think we're getting to that point where he's learning like, oh, well, here's what Palpatine maybe told me about the dark side. But the truth is my hate makes me strong.
Yeah.
And I fear to lose my power. So if I let go of my hate even a little bit, will I lose my power? And it's this horrible circle of fear and hate. And then you're mad at yourself for thinking that you would, you know, like, and I think that Vader is a clear philosopher of the dark side at this point and has that like
the Lord of the Sith.
No. You don't understand, son. If I let go of my hate, I don't have power anymore. And I need power.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that keeps me going. That's the only thing that keeps me even alive in a larger metaphorical sense. So there's like that to me, just really interesting understanding of the dark side of the Force from Vader's perspective. Like that's a possible reading.
Yeah. You know, that clip that's going around of George Lucas at the Clone Wars writing meeting, that's been available actually for years, of just him explaining, you know, the way the dark side works and what you're trying to give up. And it's just, it's joyless. It's joyless. And this is a very joyless Vader this time, but he wants that power. He's obsessed. He can't lose it.
Yeah.
But I do like that. Yeah. Again, this is different than him asking Luke. This is Luke asking him. That makes some sense.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. I also think that there is room for some of this storytelling, and given that we are getting this story right between, Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Right.
From the same writer who wrote that Darth Vader piece.
Yes, Charles Soule, yes.
Charles Soule. I do think there's something really interesting to Shirley Rock's question of the standard path for a Sith apprentice is, it is expected that I manipulate and kill my master. Mm-hmm. And I think when we see him offer Padme and Luke that, I think he's still kind of almost in that Sith apprentice, like, more, I'll take it. There's nothing sincere, honest about it, right? Yeah. There's nothing like, hey, Padme, hey, son, I really mean what I say.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kill the master. Just going to kill Darth Sidious. And then I'm going to turn back to the light. No more killing. No more possessing. No more greed. You know, every time he's offered that, it's in bad Sith faith. Yeah. And I wonder if another fun way to look at this scene is Vader is aware of like maybe something's happened where he's not feeling the confidence that he can take Palpatine. And he's feeling like, son, I got nothing to offer you. Because he seems to have backed down from the standard Sith approach in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's definitely what he's doing in Empire, of like, join me and together we'll destroy Sidious. But that something seems to have softened or weakened or broken a little bit in Vader's resolve. And it's this great, like, you can just watch the movie and you can decide for yourself. Or we got this comic book coming that might play with those ideas of what happened to make him a little bit more under... Yeah. Sidious's thumb and not willing to try that Sith maneuver. Is it that he doesn't want to lie to Luke?
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah. In that moment.
Or just, you know, he just wants to go along with just what this is the only way I can protect you is to break you.
It's too late for me. My son also floats through my brain.
Yeah.
Too. I like this Vader with a little shattered confidence in this moment.
Yeah.
And what's happening this year. We'll see. Charles Soule writing that. If you know, side note, if you notice, Kevin Scott has been wrote the Dooku novel, been tweeting out that he's been reading the Darth Bane novels.
Oh, no, I did not.
He keeps mentioning it.
I did not keep my finger on the pulse of that tweet.
We see you, Kevin Scott. We see you.
Great question, Shirley Rocks. Move on to Eric Godet. I hope that I am saying your name correctly, and I apologize if I am not. Eric says, I've been going back and forth on how they handled Luke in The Last Jedi, and honestly, I agree with what Johnson decided on. I feel if Rey showed up and Luke was like, where have you been? Let's start training. And they started doing a Rocky-style training montage with Eye of the Tiger playing. That would have been way too easy. I like how Rey had to convince him. Real life is more like that. Do you agree?
Eric, this is great. Yeah. You know what I draw first here, Joseph? Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of you.
No, it's fine.
The, I've been going back and forth. And I think it's powerful and inspirational to hear a Star Wars fan going, there's something presented to me that I wasn't sure about, and I've still molded over in my brain. This is where he comes down on it, and it's on. We you and I agree with him on this. We love Last Jedi in this moment, but you know, if he didn't, if he took the time, I love that when fans can.
Yeah,
we don't rush out to give 4 out of 5 stars right away to something every time.
Yeah, and exactly what Eric is working through of going like, okay, well, if I wasn't sure about this choice, what would the really opposite end side of the choice be? Even, you know, and I'm sure, you know, Eric's having a good sense of humor, but like, if it really was like, I came to this island for a secret reason, I've got, you know, the light side power crystal, let's get going, like, looking at what's the other choice?
If you wanted... and still wanted to see Luke literally pick up his lightsaber, ignite the green, and go in and literally kick ass alongside Rey. I understand that if that's where you wanted to go. I just, no matter wherever point A was, point A had to begin with him going, no.
Yeah.
It had to. It had to get to the ending that it got to, or the ending that you might want if you're listening. It could not have been. And I, you know... It just could not have been any other way in my mind with what Ryan was presented. He cut himself off from the Force. All these things we've heard before. Han dies. He doesn't come to save him. All these, that lightsaber and Rey show up. Yeah, this it needed to go this way.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I had to come to that first couple of viewings.
Yeah, and I mean, I really, really loved Luke's story, particularly the end of it. From my first viewing of Last Jedi, but I've also like played with in my mind, like, okay, well, what if this happened a little differently? What if that happened a little differently? I think that's honestly part of the joy of watching Star Wars, because it does have an element of, you know, myth and even like Shakespearean tragedy where, this is the pull. We want the character. We want Hamlet to make a quick decision and act decisively, you know, and do the right thing, whatever that is. And that's part of the joy of kind of wanting the character to do sometimes things that they aren't ready to do yet. So I think working through it is great. And I understand that there are fans who have differences who do listen. I understand that some of it is the sense of humor that Luke has. Some of it is you and I are both on board. We are huge Uber fans of grumpy middle-aged men, right?
Yes.
But there's some people who don't want to see a Luke Skywalker who looks like he was, you know, out at Denny's till 2 a.m. and he's pissed about the quality of the coffee, right? Like, we find that entertaining and like a great shade of his character. So I think there are lots of things to wrestle with. Mm-hmm. To me, the biggest picture, most important thing about Luke in Last Jedi is it is a story about him trying to find a way to be heroic and do the right thing in a way that doesn't compromise what he has come to believe in.
Yeah.
And what he has come to believe in is there's a great danger in raising your blade in violence to anyone ever.
Yeah.
And the times that I've done that, I feel like maybe I've caused more harm than good. So how can I be a hero? And to me, if there are people who are like, he should have been more heroic sooner. Mm-hmm. Or it would have been cool to see him do more big force powers, or he should have physically been there on Crait. All those different things that you can discuss. Mm-hmm. To me, the most important thing is, I think when you break it down, this is a story of Luke Skywalker being a hero.
Yeah.
And being a hero in this tremendous, he shows an utter mastery of the Force, right?
Yeah.
Beyond anybody's wildest dreams. But he does it in a way that is entirely true to himself.
True to himself, and I think it's a valuable lesson in Rey shows up saying, hey, we need a hero, i.e. you, and him going, it's not me, and it starts off in a grumpy spot, but then it has to get to that Obi-Wan spot of Obi-Wan's like, I'm done. Luke, this is your journey. Run, Luke, run.
Yeah.
Now it's this on the galaxy. And for me, and if anyone out there still mulling it over, I came down to asking myself, how did I want Luke Skywalker to die? Was it cut down by Kylo Ren? Was it in an X-Wing crashing? Or was it sacrificing his entire being for the entire galaxy and keeping true to himself?
Yeah.
And I was moved by that once I opened myself up to that in that way. I've thought about it, not even open myself up, just like, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that was more powerful and more memorable. And it made that final moment as he vanishes into the force way more powerful.
Peacefully, knowingly going on to his next adventure and in what's, you know, over the next horizon that he's always been staring at. All great stuff to me. So the short answer is we agree, Eric.
Yes.
But it's always fun to discuss the nuances of it. Moving on to Tim Van Newland. Tim says, in the Harry Potter books, there is a ghost teacher, Professor Binns. He teaches history. If we ever get a book or comic or TV series about the new generation of Jedi who will be trained by Rey, how would you guys feel about Force ghosts teaching younglings various subjects?
I would be interested in exploring it.
Yeah.
Tim's a great cat. I like this question. It'd be comical if it's done, you know, if we see it in a, Harry Potter, it works spectacularly. I love that idea. It's not, Qui-Gon giving lessons would be interesting.
Yeah. I think for me, I would have to vote not as interested in this. It's one of the things that makes Harry Potter, you know, different from Star Wars. Yes. There is a sense of let's have fun with all of the kind of magical creatures from the canon of lore. There are wizards, there are werewolves, there are, you know, ghosts who still teach around the school. It's all very much in that vein. Yeah. And I feel like the Force ghosts or the Force spirits in Star Wars are much more spiritual.
Yeah.
And like so far in canon, they have appeared in moments of absolute need, right? When like, okay, Luke, you've been trying, but you almost just got killed by, you know, a snow monster in a cave. Yeah, you're out here dying.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself to Dagobah. You got to move on. You feel entirely alone because Yoda's just passed. I said some things that were only true from my point of view. Let's have a talk on the log. Yeah. Even Yoda, when he, you know, we have that. And then we have lots of examples in canon of a strong Force user making an effort, a living one making an effort to contact and commune with, right?
Right, right.
So I love the idea of teaching, but I think it has to be a big moment. I don't think it can be like, you know, how to keep your Jedi robes clean 101 by Tara Sanube, right? You know, because they're not all ghosts. It's a whole process. But I think it has to be that. If it was like a
class in distress.
Yeah. It would be really cool to me if it was like, yep, hey, we've got a new kind of form of Jedi trial. It's communing with your elders.
Yeah.
Reach out and what is your deepest fear?
Yeah.
Commune with Yoda and see what wisdom he might have for you of how you can get past that. Like if it was that kind of thing, but yeah, like big Ghost Yoda comes in and waxes canes.
Students attention.
Lessons today.
No more Liam the Shades from Ghost Yoda.
Just watching that today.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on that one?
No. All right. No.
Then we will shall move on to this is our final question from Patreon. Then we'll go over to Twitter. This comes from Commander Cloud. Greetings, exalted ones. That's very nice, but much too exalted. Yep. Commander Cloud says, midichlorians communicate the will of the Force. As living things, can it be possible to harvest, cultivate, or mutate them, or even target them in a bioterror attack? Could some madman seek to silence the Force by destroying all midichlorians in Tarobang?
That's interesting. No, I don't think so. Let's ask George Lucas. to think of it in those terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, this gets to the heart of what we feel Star Wars is, right? Yeah. And again, different fans can have different opinions. But that's so science fiction, that's so technical, right?
I could see Timothy Zahn writing this series.
Right. I can see, especially, you know, back in the day when he had the Yasalamiri, however you say that.
That's right.
Yasalamiri. That had the no force bubble, right?
Mm-hmm.
That to me, when I was young and read those books, I was like, no, not for me.
I didn't like. Yeah,
it's everywhere. It connects us all. It can't be denied.
Yeah,
that is my take and my desire for Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm being a little grumpy about Watto too, but other than that, it's a funny little beat. Yeah, I know midichlorians is a term that will probably, I can't expect it coming back. Though, I'll tell you, it could, but it seems like they got to have a good way to understand. It's like George is the only one in my mind that could really take a deep dive into it.
Yeah.
I did say our buddy Hello Greedo did a video about midichlorians, and he said, something that made sense to me just on a base, simple, direct level about it's like sports. Sometimes you're born to shoot a basketball like no one else, and other times you might learn it. You'll just never necessarily be as good as that person. And midichlorians kind of represent that kind of thinking with the Force. Like, you know, you can all access it, but Anakin, he's got some skills.
Right. Yeah.
And so
it doesn't change anything.
Yeah. That's how I look at midichlorians and to look at it in terms of just the actual things, which, you know, based on what Qui-Gon's saying, it makes some sense that you could harvest midichlorians. Maybe that's what the Yuuzhan Vong will do.
Yeah, I mean, he gets a blood test and then beams it over a ship razor to a ship.
He's collecting
them. And then can do a count. So, like, yeah, and to be fair, that is all very sciencey, but I think it is all in the spirit of something very, very spiritual. I think I think a lot of times, especially when it came out, fans who had grown up with the original trilogy kicked back against, hey, don't explain too much.
Yeah.
But I think it fits into me in Phantom Menace in those themes of symbiosis.
Yeah.
Right? And no organism is alone. We are all working together in this, and they're the ones who let us feel more connected to the Force.
Yeah.
So I do think there could be really interesting storytelling in the future with midichlorians, with really looking at them in that spiritual level.
Right.
And if we are to believe Palpatine's story at the Galaxy's Opera House, he's arguing that that Plagueis manipulated them.
Right.
So I think that's interesting, is you could do a Jack Bauer 24 bioterror attack story with the midichlorians, but to me it would still be in that realm of spiritual storytelling, where it's like a Sith or some other dark side user with dark intentions, can they pervert them?
Right.
Like, not a scientist in a lab. Yeah. Krennic can't get some people to, erase midichlorians from the bloodstream. But Sith users could manipulate them to grow the dark side of the Force or something like that. I think that could be an interesting approach.
Maybe that's the next trilogy we're getting.
Maybe.
The Madman seeks to silence the Force.
Manipulating the midichlorians.
It's a great question.
101 by Darth Plagueis. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We are going to move on to our questions from Twitter. First up, Brian and Tom at Pink Milkhouse. Here's what they ask. What do you think Ahsoka had that Anakin didn't? Why was she able to find the strength to walk away and he couldn't? What do you think? Ahsoka's got some Jedi boots that are made for walking, and they walked all away from the Jedi Order.
Yeah, I watched this sequence so much, man, recently. I watched it so much, and I just love it, and it's all about her finding herself. I think she was able to I don't, maybe because she was tossed out, and she had a little bit, you know, if you're afraid of losing something, but then you lose it, then you realize you're okay.
Yeah.
Maybe if Anakin had actually accidentally and, you know, not saying lost Padme, but just kind of that fear of that possession, that attachment, the fear of losing things. If he had experienced it and was like, oh, I'm okay.
Right.
Maybe he wouldn't have done this. And I think Ahsoka got that because that's why she leaves. She doesn't leave before. She leaves when she loses it. And then they're like, cool, you get to come back. You passed your test, kid. And she's like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yeah. I think that's the heart of it to me is it is another story about attachments.
Yeah.
Is that I think Ahsoka could let go of them. I think there's the real just kind of surface level like, oh, wow, this institution is really flawed right now. And I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about you going like, whoops. We put you up for trial. And that's your Jedi trials. Come on back. Like, that's all great, just kind of very real world stuff of how would you feel, you know, trusting an institution that made those choices again. But I think on like a deeper level, it is exactly that. What Ahsoka had that Anakin didn't is an ability to let go of attachment.
Yeah.
And saying,
yeah, totally.
I don't think this is the right place for me to be. So I'm going to let the Force and my own choices take me where I need to go. Mm. It's sad. I've lived my whole life here.
Yeah.
I've strived to be a Jedi. I love Anakin. You know, I probably loves Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's willing to, you know, has a bond with Plo Koon, right? Because he's the one who found her.
Found her, yep.
But she is willing to walk away from it. And I don't think Anakin could. Like, Anakin was obviously frustrated with the Jedi Order and saw all the same things on the surface that she did.
Yeah, but I think, right there. Yeah,
he can't let go of Obi-Wan. I think it would take him away from Padme. And I think even, like, he's all about conflict. He's all about thinking he can make things change. So he can't walk away from the war. He can't do what his mom told him to in Phantom Menace, which is accept that things change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's about. And Ahsoka has that strength and wisdom to go, like, well, sometimes things change.
And he's the teacher, so to speak, and she becomes teacher in the end. I think in Rebels, I love that moment when that helmet is cracked. That is Anakin's eye, not Vader staring at her.
Yeah.
And that's Anakin's voice asking, you know, saying, Ahsoka. And it's like a brief second where he almost was like, he's got to be asking himself, can I do what she did? Maybe this is my moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love it. It's powerful. But he looks up to her in the end, though he does want to destroy her as well, because that's the battle inside of him.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Good job, Ahsoka, and great question, Brian and Tom. Thank you very much. We'll move on to our next question from Daryl Cooper at DC22957. Almost sounds like a clone number. That's great. Mm. Daryl says, if there was one thing you could change story-wise about the original trilogy, what would it be?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, It's like I go to the Ewoks, not the Ewoks Wookiee thing, but like, does it end with a not a Death Star? Does it end with something else? Poetry aside,
yeah,
that's kind of where my mind goes first, because otherwise it's so. I don't know. It's so good.
Does your mind go into like little additions more than big changes?
Yes. I'd like to see, you know, Jabba's Palace is a separate movie, right? It's its own little weird thing. And then when they pick back up, like, could there have been an intercut with another battle? You know, them trying to get more rebels trying to get to the rendezvous point or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a Lucas quote I was reading relatively recently. I can't remember where, talking about, like, the original trilogy is structured like that because I couldn't show a big war on an exotic planet.
Yeah.
You know, in retrospect, it looks like a choice of, like, let's tell the story of this war from an intimate perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree, now that we've got all this storytelling, like, in addition, it'd be like, it would be great to just get even a little bit more sense of the war,
The war that's going on.
Yeah. So there's that. The other thing I wrestle with, which I don't know if you and I have ever talked about.
Okay.
The exact location of the Emperor, Vader, and Luke in their final battle.
Really?
Yeah.
No throne room for you?
Well, no, I love the throne room, but what you get into is the legend of Star Wars is that Palpatine is defeated, Vader is extinguished by Anakin. To hear George tell it, that is the prophecy. He fulfills his prophecy with the help of his son Luke. And Luke gets heralded throughout the galaxy for having defeated, you know, the Emperor and Vader. All of which is beautiful. But then you do get into the real technical question of, like, but if Lando just blew it up, if Lando and Wedge blew it up, do you get to the same conclusion?
That's
so, like,
true.
In my own headcanon, I always have to be like, I think if Vader had not thrown Palpatine down the shaft, he would have sensed it. Maybe even been powerful enough to, like, hold the bolt back. Does the throne room, you know, eject off the Death Star and he would have escaped just in time? Like, that's, I have to think of those headcanon things because I want that victory to be Luke and Anakin's victory.
I like it.
Not that they're having a personal squabble about the Force. And then Luke or Lando, Nine Numb, and Wedge
take them out.
Yeah, because this is a friend of mine in Minneapolis came up to me. He's like, you know who actually beat the Emperor? I'm like, who? Chewie, when he took that AT-ST. And then you follow the path.
Look, what Luke's thought was, let me distract him long enough till we blow up, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's it. But yeah, I love those two. Those what ifs.
So that'd be a what if for me.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to a very, very serious question from Eric Sander at Eric_Schumann87. What wine goes best with The Last Jedi?
Man.
The hardest question so far.
We do cabs around this house. I think it's more what chocolate goes with the wine that goes with the Last Jedi. And I go for wines based on the bottles, what they look like.
Oh, the pictures.
The pictures.
Okay.
It's like pointing at a menu and going, give me this. So we go for a lot of gothic, dark.
Oh, yeah. Apothecary? Have you had apothecary?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Yes, we have around this place. Yes.
Yes.
that's where I'd go for Last
Jedi. In this house, we drink gothic cabs.
Yes, we do.
So
yes.
What image would need to be on the label for you to go, that is the right wine for The Last Jedi?
A lot of red. There's one we have with it's like a woman on it. She's got a red flowing dress. It's like a river of blood flowing out.
Oh, wow.
Forget the brand name.
Yeah.
Again, I just see the picture and I pick it up. But I think that just a lot of flowing red.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. If I could make one up myself,
yes,
it would be wine that had been bottled by the caretaker's pirate husbands who are out to sea, the wine that they bring back to the party. On Octo.
That's a fun wine.
That's a fun wine, right?
Yeah.
Fish pirate. I want fish pirate wine.
Yeah.
Failing that, the real world thing that...
fish pirate wine.
You can't get fish pirate wine.
Yeah.
Or the actual Skywalker wine, the vineyards that Lucas has. A Pinot Noir.
Okay.
You like Because it's dark and complex, and Last Jedi certainly has moments of mirth.
There you go.
But, you know... Nice, dark, complex one.
Yeah, no blends.
No blends. No blends. No green milk wine for me. Nope, Nope, that's a different...
No.
It's a different beverage entirely. All right, we are on to our final question from Twitter. Kevin Ross at Studio Executive, a Studio Executive with no E, an intriguing mystery. Kevin asks, how do each of you plan to pass the baton to the next generation of fandom?
That's a great question because I think it's close to both of our hearts here, isn't it? How do you plan to do it?
Yeah.
I'm giving you the pressure first.
Right, right. Well, I will be honest, and I think I need to think through more what would be practical things to do. I think in my heart, it is listen to younger perspectives, welcome younger people into the fandom as vociferously as possible, and just really take what is to me one of the morals of Star Wars to heart, which is accept change.
Yeah.
So it's been so great doing Force Center and getting to talk to people in here and really appreciate those different perspectives that come with different age. Like we have fans who are like, I saw Force Awakens and then I was like, I'm all in, and I watched them all. And you know, now we have those fans like, you know, Empire Strikes Back just as well as people who saw it 8 times in the theater.
Yeah.
But it is a different experience because Force Awakens brought you in versus somebody who saw it when they were a kid. And you know, like, I was thinking about it in the context of Dengar.
Dengar, indeed.
The last time I watched Empire Strikes Back, you honestly have to work to see Dengar in the actual film Empire Strikes Back.
Pause.
I have a relationship with Dengar because of his action figure, because of his trading card, because I didn't have an iPad, so I read the Empire Strikes Back storybook 8,000 times.
Right.
And that's why we have the relationship that we have with Dengar. And I don't expect someone necessarily who came to Star Wars from Force Awakens to have that relationship. Right. I understand why there are only so many 3¾ action figures.
Yeah.
And I want to accept those changes. So there's like, there's listening, there's hearing different perspectives that come from age, that come from gender or from people of color experiencing it differently. And I think the first thing I want to do is just listen and go, how do you see it differently?
Yeah.
Because of whatever time, technology, who you are, and how does that complement the way I've seen it because of the path I've had in life?
Yeah, I that's great and powerful and great question, Kevin. And I go to some of the little experiences I've had with like my cousin's daughters who I was able to accompany to their first convention. They were dressed as Rey and Kylo and to watch it through their eyes. But also the conversations I've had. When I remember one particular guy at like a Schmodown live event, it's like, hey, you know, Clone Wars was the first Star Wars I ever saw. Like, and not going, what? Wow. I saw it in the original, I saw Empire in the theaters. But
what
going,
a fool to not be born at the exact same time I was.
But to kind of go, wow, what is that perspective? And listen to what you said up top, and that's the most powerful thing. And just making the effort to be aware that this is mine and everybody's. And that doesn't mean we're all enjoying the same things all the time in Star Wars.
This is mine and everybody's is a powerful phrase.
Yeah, it's a shared journey, right? But it's different from all the parts, all different angles. And that's just in the conversations. I think it even last 2 or 3 years. You know, the feel of Force Awakens, if you know, going, I don't want to say too negative, but like when that shot went around of like Luke, Han, Leia, and Lando and the Falcon, and people were like, this is the Star Wars we wanted. Like, I would have liked to have seen that, but that cannot have been the movie. Could not have been the lead. Yeah. It had to have been the next generation. And Star Wars is bigger than what you thought it was growing up. And we've all, I think, made that conscious decision to be like, what is the Star Wars after us?
Yeah.
What is it like after us?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a good thing to give thought to, like, besides encouraging new voices, you know, what action makes sense to take. Right. When my nephew was born, which is now quite a while ago, I did buy him a lightsaber, toy lightsaber. And like when he was born and told my brother, hey, you know, can you give this to him when he's old enough? And say, you know, the uncle wanted you to have this when he's old enough. And he got it when he was about 2-3 years old. So, so that was my first attempt to pass on Star Wars to the next generation. It went pretty well.
Yeah. great stuff, Kevin. I mean, it's something that's on our mind. It's a case-by-case basis. And you know, when you when you find an opportunity to pass it on, and just, you know, to hear when someone says, young or I'm new to Star Wars. We have people on our Discord server like Force Awakens is what brought me here, and to be respectful of that and have joy for them for that.
Yeah.
We can never experience. You could never have been born in 1972 and seen it when you were five.
Right. And never be born a couple years ago.
Yes.
So I did skip a question.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so I did.
Oh,
no. So I offer you the choice, Ken.
Yeah.
We can go back for it, or it can be like Luke's third lesson, and we can wonder about what it is, and we can revisit it on the next main show.
I wonder if we'll have a better answer knowing anything new.
Yes, this is a good mystery question.
Yeah.
I swear I didn't do this on purpose,
no.
But this is a great cliffhanger.
It is a great cliffhanger.
What is the missing question? The fifth Twitter question.
I say we answer it when we have a little more information.
We'll do that. Yeah. We'll do that. That's so that good. Is our questions. 9 great questions. 10 great questions. 1 I forgot about or missed on my list. So we will address that one next time. But great questions. Thanks as always to all of our listeners for answering or asking such great questions.
Absolutely. Our 200th episode is coming up.
Yeah.
As you saw on our Discord server, someone will have to give them, get the name, made a Force Center bingo card.
Oh my.
And it's fun. It's made with out of complete love for what we do. Some of the phrases you and I say over and over again, some of the things we love. They didn't put absolute. I say absolutely a ton. It's my little placeholder word.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's there. 200th episode is coming up, and it looks like it might be the Rise of Skywalker review, as you talked about last week.
Yeah, I think
right?
it might end up that way.
The way it works. Anyways, we are looking forward to that. We are so happy. All of you who joined today with your questions from Twitter and Patreon and other spots, and to do so for future episodes or want to join the conversation or follow up on anything we talked about here today, you can go to Twitter at Force Center Pod, use the hashtag Force Center, like our Facebook page, website forcecenterpod.podomatic.net in transition, but that one is still up. Podcasts available in a lot of spots, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, RadioCast, Pocket Casts, and Anchor is there. And on Anchor, I will say, we did this big switch. It's been going great. I did just know there seems to be some issue with older episodes cutting off. We're aware. We're trying to work on that problem. So stay tuned for that. We appreciate you going back and trying to catch up or relive some of the Force Center memories. We have episodes on YouTube and special stuff up there, Instagram as well. And patreon.com/Force Center is also where you can support us. And Joseph, we got merch.
That is right. We have merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. That's the URL. We're trying to highlight some of the t-shirts, mugs, whatnot. And it seems really appropriate this week of trailers to spotlight our Speculate Responsibly shirt.
Yes.
Because we're going to get into a wild and joyous season of speculating. So let everyone know right on a t-shirt how you're feeling about speculating responsibly. Again, that's tpublic.com/user/Force Center.
We got our own stuff we work on, including comedy shows and other writings and other things. Joseph, what's going on in your world? Where can they find you?
Yeah, you can always find me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can check out my website for podcasts, comedy shows, all kinds of stuff. In particular, the latest episode of Obsessed is with Grace.
Yes.
With your partner Grace talking about the television show Ghost Adventures. It's a really fun episode. And then if you're in the LA area this Friday, I have a show at Geeky Tees. It's a game night variety show. Lots of fun and pop culture stuff. So go check that out. Again, it's all on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
And for me, go to kednapsuck.com or follow me at kednapsuck, Twitter, Instagram, like the Facebook page. If you're a sports fan, baseball fan specifically, Flag Sports Baseball columns, what I write every week now. That's up even during the off season. And comedy coming up November 16th. I'll be in Washington, D.C. with Mark Ellis. 2 shows. Go to markellislive.net for information and tickets. That is it this week. It's been a different show, I will admit. Slightly distracted because I keep daydreaming about the trailer I've yet to see, but all of you will have seen by the time this is out. We'll see you next time on Force Center.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.